Let's continue in our talks from Mark by reading Mark chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. Here we have our Lord's view concerning divorce. Mark 10, 1 through 12. Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan. And the people gathered to him again, and as he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" testing him. And he answered and said to them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, his disciples asked him again about the same matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Some background notes. In verse 1, when it says he arose from there, that's Capernaum. He arose from Capernaum on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, where he was in chapter 9, as we saw. And now the Lord is traveling south toward Judea and Jerusalem. But he's coming via an area on the other side of the River Jordan known as Perea. This is on the Transjordan side, the east side of the Jordan River, an area called Perea. Now, this is significant to note, particularly in view of verse 2, where it says the Pharisees are testing him. Our Lord is teaching the people there, as he was accustomed to do, and the Pharisees come, and it says they test him. This territory of Perea was under the jurisdiction of Herod Antipas. Remember him? He's the ruler that beheaded John the Baptist. Why? Because John had denounced Herod's divorce and adulterous remarriage to Herodias. Remember, we saw that back in Mark chapter 6. So the Pharisees, you see, are trying to trap Jesus. If the Lord were to come down hard on divorce, this might incur the wrath of Herod Antipas and might lead to our Lord's death, a situation that the Pharisees would not be displeased with. On the other hand, if the Lord went light on the subject of divorce, he would lose the support of the common people because these were his followers and they were more conservative on this matter. So the Pharisees are trying to trap the Lord here. They're testing him. The Pharisees, of course, themselves were split on this matter of divorce. Not on whether divorce was legal or not, only the grounds for divorce. There was a strict school of interpretation, and they said that divorce was only for adultery. But there was also the lenient school of thought, and their view on divorce was that it could be for just about any reason. Even if your wife didn't cook your food the way you liked. You can actually read this in the ancient Jewish literature. Well, the Lord answered all these questions by going back to the creation ordinance of marriage. Marriage as God intended it to be. And any departure from this constitutes adultery. Look at verses 11 and 12 once again. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Verse 12, by the way, shows that Mark wrote for a much wider audience than just Jewish readers. Women divorcing their husbands was not widespread in Judaism, but it was practiced in the Roman Empire. Let's go to doctrinal points or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, the Bible does not condone divorce. The Bible does not condone divorce. Now, this is an important point because there are many Christians today who don't believe this anymore. Go to your Christian bookstores, for example, and I can just about guarantee that you'll find some Christian author writing that God views your happiness as more important than maintaining an unhappy marriage. Well, that's exactly what was going on here with the Jews in the Old Testament time. Ever since they had come out of Egypt, where they picked up the practice of divorce, they were getting divorces for any and all kinds of reasons. And they were using the law as an excuse. So here the Lord corrects their wrong thinking on this matter. The law did not condone divorce. It only regulated a sad situation that was going on. And our Lord said it was because of the hardness of their selfish hearts that God brought in this regulation. And the regulation actually was to protect the woman. It was in no way to condone divorce. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 24, where we have this regulation. And let's read the first four verses here. When a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce. Now, some of your translations are a little misleading here because it sounds like a law is coming in here. If he finds some uncleanness in her, let him write her a bill or certificate of divorce. It sounds like that's a law. No, that's not the law. These are all conditions. The law actually comes down in verse 4. These are all conditions that were going on, and now this law is going to regulate. Continuing the reading, he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce and puts it in her hand and sends her out of his house. When she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife, if the latter husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house, or if the latter husband dies who took her to be his wife, then the former husband who divorced her, here comes the law now, you see, then the former husband who divorced her must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled, for that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. So the law, you see here, comes in verse 4. It's not condoning divorce. Rather, it is a law to protect the woman from being passed back and forth like a piece of property. The law in no way condoned divorce. And God did not change his mind over the years. When you come to the close of the Old Testament period, here's what we read in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. You remember, Malachi is written right at the close of the Old Testament period. Malachi 2:16. I hate divorce, says the Lord. And as we come into New Testament times, here we have our Lord discussing this matter of divorce, and he in no way is condoning divorce. The Bible does not condone divorce. But some of you might be saying at this point, well, wait a minute, what about that so-called exception clause over there in Matthew 5:32 and Matthew 19, verse 9? There the Lord says that divorce was wrong unless there was a case of fornication or sexual immorality. Well, now there's a number of different views of this exception clause, but one thing for sure, it is not saying that God condones divorce. Even in the case of unfaithfulness in a marriage, God is more pleased with forgiveness and reconciliation than with divorce. Remember, marriage is to reflect the relationship between Christ and his bride, the church. Read Ephesians 5 in this connection. Aren't you glad that our Lord doesn't divorce us when we're unfaithful to him? The Bible does not condone divorce in any way. Doctrinal point number 2. God designed marriage to be heterosexual, monogamous, and permanent. God designed marriage to be heterosexual, monogamous, and permanent. We see that right here. First of all, God designed marriage. It's not something man came up with as a convenient way to live. No, God designed marriage. And notice from verse 6, it's to be heterosexual. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Male and female. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, as you've heard before, right? By the way, this verse certainly refutes evolution, doesn't it? Notice, but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Mankind didn't evolve and become male and female. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And then, of course, marriage is to be monogamous, verses 7 and 8. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, not wives, and the two, not three, not four, and the two shall become one flesh. And so they are no longer two, but one flesh. And marriage is to be permanent, as God designed it. Verse 9, therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate. Practical application. Your marriage might be better if you leave your father and mother. Your marriage might be better if you leave your father and mother. Now, this application is particularly for young couples who might be struggling in this area. Now, at first, this application sounds a little unbiblical, doesn't it? Your marriage might be better if you leave your father and mother. But look again at verse 7. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. To quote from Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Now, to leave does not mean to dishonor. That would be against Scripture. We're to honor our parents. And to leave does not mean leave because you're mad or something like that. But leave because you're a new unit. You're one. The two are one in God's sight. Just as there is a special blood relationship between a parent and child, so in God's sight there is a special binding relationship between husband and wife. And as a new unit of one, it's better to leave father and mother. Many marriages fail because this principle has not been practiced. The parents and in-laws begin manipulating the marriage. Now, this does not mean you have to move out of state or something like that. But you do have to recognize that when you're married, you're a new autonomous unit, husband and wife unit before the Lord. While the chain of counsel is still there, consulting your folks, the chain of command is not. Husband and wife make the decisions now, not parents or in-laws. Those of us who are parents and or grandparents, let's remember this principle. And let's not try to run our married children's lives or even our married grandchildren's lives. So remember that principle, particularly young couples that are listening to this. Your marriage might be better if you leave your father and mother. Practical application number 2. Be willing to let God change your mind about your spouse. Be willing to let God change your mind about your spouse. You know, in the marriage counseling that I've done, this is one of the greatest barriers that I find. A husband or wife to be willing to let God change their minds about their spouse. The man or the woman says, well, the romance is gone. He's so different now, or she doesn't appeal to me any longer. Well, when I ask the man or the woman if they are willing to ask God to change their attitude about their response, sometimes the answer is no, or they're reluctant. I remember counseling a husband who told me his wife was now overweight and therefore no longer appealed to him. Well, I asked him if he would be willing to ask God to change him so that he would now begin to think his wife didn't look so bad overweight. You know, the idea of fat is beautiful. Well, he was reluctant to have God change his attitude. You see, that's the bottom line, to be willing to let God change your attitude. He can do it. He can change this. He can work miracles here. Are you having marital difficulties right now? Are you willing to pray as follows? Lord, I must admit that I'm finding it hard to stay in love with my wife or my husband. They no longer appeal to me as they once did. And Lord, I must admit I don't want to change. I want out of this marriage. But Lord, I'm willing to have you change me, whatever it takes, because I want to obey you in this area. If you take this attitude, you really can see miracles take place in your marriage. Be willing to let God change your attitude about your spouse.